The following is a meeting with disciples with His Holiness Srila Satsvarupa Das Goswami on January 2nd, 1996 in Sri Vrindavan Dham.
I'm pleased that we can gather in these kind of meetings. I just came from Mayapur, and there were about half a dozen devotees there, mostly from Gita Nagari. And we started having classes like this in the evening, reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Even closed the door. And I would like to continue that. We can have it nightly until the seminar begins. Then we can occasionally have some disciples' meetings also. I think there's some more devotees coming from America. There's Janmashtami. Maybe she's coming. Yeah. But before beginning or continuing with Chaitanya Charitamrita. Yeah, sorry. I want to mention something about entering Vrindavan, especially because some of the devotees from Ireland are coming for the first time. And anyway, even though we may come often or even live here, we're trying to enter Vrindavan. And we can't do that, as Prabhupada writes, just by a plane ticket to come here. So, Shamananda, the temple president from Inishrath, is here first time. And I said casually to him when I saw him this morning, well, you're in Vrindavan, but you have to understand how to enter Vrindavan. And I said, if you want to know, you can just read the meaning to Gauranga Boli Tehabi. It's all there. And then I realized that this is true. And so I thought I would sing that song and then go over the meaning for how to enter Vrindavan. So I'm going to sing a tune that Prabhupada sings on that Govindam album, one album. And I'll just sing it by myself without any instruments except devotees except the harmonium.
It's a little hard to sing otherwise.
Gauranga bolite habe Pulaka sharira Hari Hari Bolite Nayane Babe Nir Arakabe Nitai Chan Karuna Hoebe Samsara Basana Mora Kabe Tu Chahabe Vishaya Charya Kabe Shudahabe Mana Kabe Hamahe Rabo Sri Vrindavana Rupa Ragunata Pade Haibe Akuti Kabe hama bujhabo se jugala piriti Rupa Ragunata Pade Rahu Mora Asha Prartana Koro Ye Sada Narottamadas Gauranga Bolite Habe Pulaka Sharira Hari Hari Bolite Nayane Babe Nira.
So this is a song by Narottam Das Thakur. Prabhupada has written a
purport.
I'll just kind of extract from it. Gauranga Bolite Habi Pulaka Sharira. If you want to attain perfection of chanting, that will come as soon as you chant the name of Lord Gauranga, who initiated the Sankirtan movement. The perfection is that when you chant, you feel shivering in your body. This is not to be imitated. But Narottam Das Thakur is asking, when will the opportune moment come to us, when there will be shivering of the body as soon as we chant Lord Gauranga's name? And after the shivering, Hari Hari Bolite Nayana Babe Nira. While chanting Hare Krishna, there will be tears in the eyes. So such emotional chanting, such emotions churn when we chant Lord Chaitanya's name or chant Hare Krishna. This is the stage of perfection, of devotion. Then he says, Ara kabe nitai chan karuna hoibe. We're all asking about the mercy of Lord Nityananda. He's the original spiritual master, so we have to approach Lord Chaitanya through the mercy of Lord Nityananda. And what is the symptom of a person who has the mercy of Lord Nityananda? He has no more material desires. So Narottam wonders, when will that come? Prabhupada says, of course, as long as we have bodies, we have to accept so many material things, but not in the spirit of enjoyment, but only to keep body and soul together. So that's very good, even practical advice for living in Vrindavan or India. Don't exaggerate the needs of the body for trying to enjoy food or other amenities. Be frustrated at the lack of them. But material facilities, just so that we can function in Krishna consciousness, not living for that pleasure. And then Narottam says, when shall I be Rupa Raghunatha Paide Hoibe Akuti? When shall I be very much eager to study the books left by the six Goswamis? As you'll see, all of these are requirements for entering Vrindavan that becomes more explicit. So we should be eager. He's asking these questions. He's waiting for that day while at the same time attempting to practice these things. Study the books of the six Goswamis with akuti, with eagerness. And then Prabhupada says, Rupa Goswami has written Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. These topics are also dealt with in Chaitanya Charitamrita and other books, and we have given the summary of these directions in our book, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. It seems that Prabhupada wrote this purport when he had only written Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. But he eventually wrote Nectar of Devotion, Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we can study this six Goswami's books by reading these books of Prabhupada. And then through this study, one has to learn the conjugal loving affairs of Radha and Krishna. And don't try to understand it by your own endeavor, but under the directions of the Goswamis. As long as the mind is too much absorbed in materialistic thought, one cannot enter into the kingdom of Vrindavan. But Narottam Das Thakur says, when the mind is completely purified, being freed from material anxieties and desires, then I shall be able to understand Vrindavan and the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna, and then my spiritual life will be successful. So we need mercy of specific persons. We need the mercy of Lord Nityananda. We need from our side the yearning to perfect our chanting. Not exactly that we're yearning for tears and hair standing on end, but to start with trying to improve the chanting. This is Vrindavan is for that. As you see, Vrindavan is not for material advancement. But it's the expert place, the best place
for spiritual advancement. So you chant here, and it can be very effective. Even the fact that you've left your situation of so many concerns in the West or wherever, now you just can be here and call out the names of Gauranga or Hare Krishna. So on our part, we yearn and practice the chanting. We yearn for the eagerness to study books while we're here. And not any books, but the authorized books coming down, specific succession, the books of Prabhupada. You understand ultimately Radha Krishna. And practice this vairagya, freedom from material desires. These are the ingredients mentioned here. And then it's summed up again, that in this way the mind will become pure, free from material anxieties, not worry so much about material problems, or hope for material pleasures. Then I shall be able to understand Vrindavan. Look at that again when you want, when you have time. So, on the one hand, reading Chaitanya Charitamrita in Mayapur is so perfect. And we were reading also, starting the seventh chapter of Adi Leela. I myself was reading ahead of that, reading about Lord Chaitanya, his birth and his upbringing in Navadvip. And it was very nice, especially early in the morning, reading alone about Lord Chaitanya and being in the beautiful land of West Bengal, not quite as cold as here, and more banana trees, palm trees, and more water, green. So I might have thought, all right, that was Mayapur side, now kind of Vrindavan, now that's Chaitanya Leela, now I pick out something for Krishna's Leela in Vrindavan. But for myself coming here, I felt so good and safe about talking about Lord Chaitanya. And we know that Lord Chaitanya is ultimately the revealer of Mayapur and Vrindavan. By his mercy, we can only be in Krishna consciousness. So I thought, oh, there's nothing inappropriate about continuing to think of Lord Chaitanya and hear about his pastimes in Vrindavan also. And in this way, Krishna consciousness will be revealed to us. And then I heard Prabhupada on the tape today, I wanted to play a little excerpt emphasizing the focus on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Subject matter. But because we are trying to understand Krishna through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, therefore he said you don't. Otherwise it is very difficult. Otherwise Krishna is
Oh.
I'll tell you first a little bit what we were reading. We're still in the seventh chapter. It began with describing the members of the Panchatattva. So we spent a little time on that. Panchatattva makam vishnam bhakti rupa sarupakam bhaktavataram bhaktyakam namami bhakti shaktikam. Who is Lord Chaitanya? The form of the devotee, Lord Nityananda, the expansion of the devotee, the Lord Acharya, the incarnation of the devotee, the incarnation of the devotee. All three of them, in other words, Vishnu, Tattva. The Lord as a devotee. It's Lord Chaitanya. And so, Nityananda, the Lord's expansion, but not coming as Baladev or as Maha or as a Vishnu, Sankarshan, but as a devotee, and the incarnation, Mahavishnu, incarnating as a devotee. And then the two worshippers, Bhakti Shakti, Gadadhar, and he's the internal energy of the Lord. Very esoteric subject, Gadadhar Pandit. He's actually in the form of Srimati Radharani, or the lust of Radharani. And then the pure devotee, the Jiva pure devotee, the Srivat, who is Narada. We were relishing how the Panchatattva appear and how we should chant their name. And I was continuing to read it just this morning, or yet, no, a couple of mornings ago. Since I've been here, though, I read the purport where Prabhupada says that in Mayapur there should be 24-hour kirtan. I guess that's at least the purport where we have authority for 24-hour kirtan. And are there other occasions when Prabhupada said specifically Vrindavan? Was there some occasion where Prabhupada said there should be 24-hour kirtan in Vrindavan? Yeah. But in his purport, that's particularly impressive, and so he's written that there about Mayapur. So. So, I forgot what I was saying. We were talking about the Panchatattva. So, and how we should chant Panchatattva mantra and chant Hare Krishna. Then, this chapter, then it develops into Lord Chaitanya's touring, and he comes to Varanasi, and there he's challenged by the Mayavadis, especially the Prakasananda Saraswati, who criticizes the Lord for chanting and dancing, the sentimentalists. So the Lord comes into their company, and I love this chapter, this part of this chapter very much, the Lord's humble behavior before the Mayavadis, and how they bring him to their meeting, and they ask him, why? You appear to be very nice, you have a great effulgence, you look like Narayan, and you're so humble. So what's the matter? Why don't you do the right functions of a sannyasi? You were properly initiated by Keshava Bharati. Why do you chant Hare Krishna with these fanatics? Why don't you study Vedanta? It's the proper behavior. And they mean study Vedanta with Shankara commentary. So then this wonderful description by the Lord, which is actually the glorification of the chanting of Hare Krishna, one of the most brilliant presentations in, I think, in all the scriptures about chanting. Partly it's brilliant because it's told in such a personal way in the context of the guru-disciple relationship and the personal experience of the ideal disciple, Lord Chaitanya, in his own words. What could be better? Even we don't hear Krishna so much talking like that about the nectar of the holy names, because he is Krishna, whose names we chant. But he also tells us about the glories of the holy name. But Lord Chaitanya does it as a neophyte who experienced it for the first time. He said, "My spiritual master called me a fool and said, you should not try to study Vedanta. Just chant Hare Krishna." So then he emphasizes the obedience to the spiritual master. Whatever he said, I did it. So I didn't study Vedanta. I accepted that I'm a fool. I chanted Hare Krishna. So emphasis on following the guru, and emphasis on the guru's order being to chant. This is the prime order of the spiritual masters in Sampradaya of Lord Chaitanya. Prabhupada writes, "Of all the instructions of the spiritual master, the order to chant 16 rounds is the most important." So Lord Chaitanya did it. He's telling all these Mayavadis something that they never hear about, the glories of the holy name. They're getting a wonderful opportunity on the plea of explaining himself, "Why I don't study Vedanta." He's actually injecting them with devotion for the holy name, and through Krishnadas Kaviraj, he's injecting all of us. So he says, "I did it. I began to chant Hare Krishna, and I don't know what came over me, but so many emotions came over me. Sometimes I cried, I got very excited, and I get very quiet, and I thought that I'd become pagala, mad, with all these conflicting and wonderful emotions. I don't really know what's happening, what kind of a mantra my spiritual master has given me." Actually, his spiritual master said, finally, Bengali, he uses the word japa. So Lord Chaitanya, he chants kirtan in the streets and in the house of Srivasangan, but he also chants on beads, which we see he did in Vrindavan at Amritala every day. And when he was on the road walking, chants and counts on his beads. So that's particularly mentioned. Krishna mantra japa sada. You know, Lord Chaitanya says, "Kirtaniya, Hari, Kirtaniya sada, Hari." Sada means always. So here it says, "Krishna mantra japa sada." You should always chant the holy names of Krishna, japa. This is the spiritual master said. And then, in describing what he did, when he goes back to his guru, he says, "What kind of a mantra have you given me?" He says, is describing his practice, "Japete, japete." I've been chanting and chanting on my beads. And this is what happened. So then Ishwarpuri smiles and says, "Oh, my dear child, there's no question that you're just crazy, or you should be confused about this. What you're describing to me are the symptoms of the highest love of God. You've attained this by your devotional chanting, you know, and your faith in the spiritual master. So I'm very happy for you." And then he begins to describe more the effects of chanting in ecstasy with Shastric quotes to show his disciple that indeed you have attained your love of God. So this sweet, innocent role that Lord Chaitanya plays, as if naive of spiritual experience and having to be told that he was the perfect disciple for chanting Hare Krishna. Then Lord Chaitanya says, "My spiritual master also taught me He tells him more of the teachings about the chanting of the holy name that Iswarapuri taught him, and how he developed a love of Krishna by this. So these sannyasis are very impressed. And there's nothing wrong with this. We think it's wonderful that you've attained love of God. But still, we want to know, why don't you study Vedanta? And then he goes on, and that's just what we've studied so far. I thought for the context of our meetings, I would skip the philosophical section, as important as it is, of Lord Chaitanya presenting the direct meaning of Vedanta and refuting the Shankara interpretation of Vedanta, and go ahead to another place. Marked out, oh yeah, here. But I think rather than actually begin looking at texts, what I do, I just read this recently myself, and as I did so, I marked little places that interested me, and so I go over them, selected verses and purports, and discuss it. But I think I'll begin that the next time, and so for now, if you have any questions about what I said, as you like, we can try to discuss it further. In one sense, they just come. They come down. It's like the rain. Certainly, they have to come that way. They can't be studied. Prabhupada points out they can be practiced artificially. That means, like, I don't know how they do it, like an actor or actress, they can cry. They prepare their mind in that way. Night after night, they cry tears. Playing that, oh, my husband has died, or whatever it is in the play production. So that's theatrics. So it comes down, but we can prepare, as he's yearning for it, we can strive, and we can pray, and we can practice. The practice. It just starts with the practice of improving chanting from the lowest point upwards. And then you become eligible for the rain of Shuddha-Shattva to come down. Starting with getting rid of offenses. Prepare the mind in that way. Wherever the mind goes, due to its restless and flickering nature, bring it back under the control of the higher self. That verse in the yoga chapter on Bhagavad Gita always seems to me very relevant for the chanter. It describes a kind of work that's done relentlessly by us, by our will. You have to have a relentless will to do it again and again, and keep trying. Krishna appreciates repeated, sometimes apparently hopeless attempts to pray, give me a little mercy, let me control my mind, let me hear the holy names, control the mind, hear the chanting, and stop being offensive, committing the 10 offenses. This is the way to improve the quality of chanting till it becomes offenseless. And then these things come. And specifically in regard to those ecstatic symptoms, there's another verse, similar to Gauranga Balite Habi, and, in the second canto, where, it says, that person, who when he chants Hare Krishna does not feel tears in the eyes and his heart is throbbing, his heart must be steel framed if after chanting Hare Krishna he doesn't get these symptoms. So there's a strong recommendation that this stage should be reached. But in the purport, Prabhupada mostly deals with those who fake it And he says, they're hard-hearted for daring to do that. And then he said, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes that sometimes a person who's not so advanced may show these symptoms of tears and so on. So it's not such a... And sometimes a Mahabhagwat who's actually chanting in devotion doesn't show the symptoms. So the symptoms, they're not such a steady gauge in themselves. Therefore, he says, the more steady symptom is material detachment. We want to see if the chanter is actually... We don't want to see exactly whether the chanter is crying or not, but whether he's detached. This point he makes there. And then, but then Prabhupada affirms that we certainly want to reach this stage, but it has to come naturally. It will come naturally. So that's what I say as far as you're saying, how do we prepare the mind, make the mind pure? Because that won't come if there are dirty things in the mind. It's a state of love, like the last verses of Shikshastakam, such intense thinking of Krishna and loving Krishna, or feeling sorry that we've cut ourselves off from Krishna. It's very Krishna-centered, Krishna-conscious. But if you're thinking of other things, how are you going to cry for Krishna? You're not Krishna-centered. You're centered on the holy name. Another thing, being in Mayapur was helpful also, to appreciate Krishna's particular advent as the name, as the sound. So concentrate, you can prepare your mind like that too. Like, Krishna, you're so kind to appear in this way. Oh my Lord, your holy name alone can render all benediction to the living beings, and therefore you have hundreds and millions of names like Krishna and Govinda. In your transcendental names, you have invested all your transcendental energies. They're not even hard and fast rules for chanting the holy names. My Lord, you've made approach to you so easy by your holy name. So like that, addressing Krishna, and then saying, but unfortunate as I am, I have no attraction for them. Thinking of Krishna in relationship with him as none is a good way to approach the holy name, and from that the stage may come. And every day, especially in the morning hours, we have an opportunity to try again. And here's the best place to do it. The peacocks are crying and whatever other else is in the ether, you add your chanting. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Ram Hare. Yeah, it's not. I don't think it's a contradiction. In other words, a little advancement is certainly advancement, and one should be encouraged and credited for it. But he may still be said to be lacking in devotion. There's one verse. Oh yeah, it's Satam Pasangam Mama Virya Samvido, that verse, that discussion of the pastimes of Krishna should be done in the assembly of devotees, third canto. And then it goes on to say, it describes different stages up to bhava, and Prabhupada translates it as, and then real devotional service begins, which is bhava. So it's like until you, by one use of language or description, until you reach the bhava, you haven't, all you've done is gone through the motions. So sometimes the language is very encouraging for what we've done in the neophyte stage, and sometimes it's just like a frank put down, well, you haven't really done anything yet, because you still have material desires. Do you think of Krishna all the time? Or do you think of yourself? Do you think that you're this body? And in so many ways, if we really get stark about it, we'll see, well, I'm not a devotee. And that one is, but when I chant Hare Krishna, I don't feel any particular emotion. Prabhupada was very encouraging. And so the acharyas. And they say that all devotional service is like a mango. Sometimes in the early stage it's raw, then it gets mature. I know myself, when I write about it, sometimes I write seeming in a negative way. Like I just always see that I'm just no good. I don't chant with any devotion. But sometimes it gets so heavy. I wrote recently, it was published in Among Friends, about positive, let's be positive thinking. And I was thinking of basic accomplishments that many of us have attained, the chanting 16 rounds and so on, and seeing them as good and encouraging, and let's be glad about it. So, yes, it's a sign of devotion, certainly, to get up early, to chant your 16 rounds obediently. You don't have to do it. Nobody's forcing you. But you want to do it. It's your gratitude to the spiritual master and for giving you the Harinam initiation, and you want to keep trying. And yeah, there's some devotion there. You couldn't really do without the chanting. But what can be done? The anarthas are still there. And you have real devotional service hasn't begun. So it's love, but not so much love. Little. And we have to cry like that. And then there's different kinds of crying too. If you can cry, not that, oh, I'm thrilling to, you know, the touch, Krishna's touch, but crying that, oh, I could not attain Krishna consciousness. And the heart becomes soft even in that way, then it's very good. You see, sometimes from our own rank and file devotees, we tend to feel, and I think accurately, a sort of egalitarian sense that we're all sort of in the same boat. Maybe somebody's a little older, a little more advanced, but we all are pinched by the same material desires. We have similar spiritual aspirations. So from our own rank and file, we see devotees have died, come to that stage and passed away. And it's not uncommon that when they come very close to the end, they cry and they feel more spiritual emotions and they feel regret for not having been Krishna conscious. I'm thinking particularly of my god brother Hayagriva, who actually did a lot of, deviated in many ways. But he had a strong attachment for Swamiji Prabhupada. And toward the end he began to feel so sorry and crying out to Prabhupada. So what is that? That's a kind of ecstasy of regret and of just becoming very soft. And so we could do that if we can face death or face our position before then. We can start to make up the ground. We have to really concentrate, though, on this point of trying to be Krishna conscious and knowing that it's available in the holy name. Not that we recite it like that. The absolute permanent condition. Oh, my Lord, you're so kindly approachable through your holy names, and unfortunate as I am, I have no attachment to them, and that's the way it'll always be. Next verse. But that should be said with feeling. But unfortunate as I am, I don't want to be always. In fact, the other verse sort of asks to be taken out of it. Ay, Nanda. Tanuja King Karam. I'm your eternal servitor. I meant to chant the holy names. Get out of the ocean of birth and death. and then a call for action. Please pick me up from this ocean of death. And that it's not just a passive thing. You get picked up by service. You render service and Krishna will pick you up. And the service begins with the tongue. So I like your description of even the earliest stage as an evidence of love. And now we have to increase on it until real devotional service begins. In the English translation of Harinam Chintamani, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that the Vaidhi Bhakti is like going through the motions. But in this realm, even to go through the motions will be effective. Like going through the motion of churning milk. Just do it, do it, do it, do it, and then butter comes. Thank you for asking me questions about chanting. So these are disciples' meetings, and I had a few things to talk about, like sort of like announcements and things. One thing is, I have no prasadam to give out tonight. So different people, they can take on different assignments, and for these different assignments, you can see Madhu Mangal next door. Like in Mayapur, it was Narayan Jwar's duty every night, and to get the fruit, we had apple cut up, and then they gave it to me. So we knew it would always be there. Tonight we have nothing. No, that's all right. So you can see Madhu Mangal for different things to do. Like, for example, his Prabhupada and there are different things that you can get for him if you want to do something. He's got already nice things, but there are a few things he could use, like more winter clothes. And I've specifically written some of it down for Madhu, if anyone wants to get a few things like that. Then also, we're picking up different things, adding to our luggage more things than we can carry. So those who are, when they leave, are going to the West, whether it's to Ireland or America, if you could see Madhu Mangal, if you're willing to carry even a few things, it could help us reliably carry them to some destinations for us. Also, this is a little early, but I wanted to mention it. To those who are going on to Mayapur, to the festival there, my disciple, Chaitanya Chandra Doya, he was formerly one of the many Alexes from Russia. And so he's, now that Dr. Alex Orlov has left Mayapur, where he did such a wonderful job of distributing my books there, now Chaitanya Chandra Doya is doing that. And so this festival will be a big opportunity to distribute my books. And he said he'll organize it, but if people would volunteer to sit at a table for some time, it doesn't have to be so much, it's an hour or so. If different people do it, then you could sell more books than any other time I could. And such an opportunity for people all over the world. I get letters from Bulgaria or China or this place. People read it and they like the particular presentation, so the international market of ISKCON and the congregation is going to be at a peak at that time, 2,000 or 3,000 people perhaps. So if you're going, basically see Chaitanya Chandra Doya there. One thing about behavior here in the Dham, and different etiquettes and things. For myself, sometimes I leave the temple a little bit just before the questions and answers begin the lecture, or when Mangala Arati isn't quite over. I make my exit discreetly, if possible, and I do so because although that schedule has to be followed, I have my own schedule up here, so they don't always conform, and I sometimes shave off a little from that. But if I do get up and leave, no one else should do so. It doesn't look good, you know, the guru leaves and three or four people leave with him. It creates a bad impression of our neglecting things. So, although you might want to speak to me or see if I need something, it's better that you don't leave just when I leave. Another other ways we should be conscious of our behavior, especially like man-woman dealings and all etiquettes, so we don't commit offense to any devotees or any residents or any living beings.